Welcome to Beyond the Document, the podcast from Formpipe, where we discuss everything that is output, document, and customer communication management. In this episode, we're talking about AI, and specifically AI in banking. And joining us to do this is Fabrice Goodbrose, MD from SNG Technology Services. Welcome to the podcast, Fabrice.
Thank you, Ben, and thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for hosting us today. It's good to be here. Now, AI is all around us. I mean, only last month, we at Formpipe published an article, and in the article, the opening paragraph, we spoke about how AI is now part of general life. Even if some consumers don't realize it, you know, the majority of the world's population are using, I don't know, mobile technology, online services, and therefore data-driven decisions and AI is shaping their lives. I mean, this must be something you see within your role.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've been working to deliver innovation in banking for over 10 years now, working with vendors such as Temenos. And AI has become more and more a large part of what we do or solutions we integrate with. And it's worth remembering that AI is nothing new. It's been there for 40 years. The theory has started in the 60s. But we need to remember that AI is not a specific technique. It's a domain. And in this domain, we can have very different approaches. Okay. So decision trees has been the backbone of AI for many years now. And in banking, certainly, we have been accustomed to having decision made by decision tree AI. What is happening now is that we have techniques such as neural network and deep learning, are much closer to learn from data in a human-like manner.
Yes.
And suddenly, they bring tremendous results. I mean, the guys who created ChatGPT, for instance, themselves, they were very surprised by the quality of the result of their work. They were not expecting that. And that's thanks to, first of all, big data, and also the processing power that we have now with machines. So the theory has been around for a long time. Certainly, I remember when I was a student many years ago, we were studying AI and we were already studying neural networks. But it was a preserve of universities, labs.
Sure.
Now it's all around.
Yeah.
And we've got a tipping point where in generative AI, certainly this has changed everything. And for the general public, it's something that we didn't see coming.
No. And I know when you and I have spoken before, the academic side of it is something that I wasn't aware of. And I appreciate that you've helped me a little bit understand some of the background. And it's become such a generic term, but actually, like you said, it's got quite a long background behind it.
Indeed.
Yeah. Okay. So focusing this onto banking, because that's what we're here to talk about. I mean, I know, and people listening to this podcast will understand where AI can introduce great efficiency to banking operations and then also improve, you know, the experience of the end client by making those kind of predictions. And this brings common and exciting applications, but then also it brings risk. So bringing the work that you do with SNG into the conversation, how do you assess the potential benefit of AI and also the risk that could be presented?
Yeah, so I'm coming back to this dichotomy between decision tree and deep learning. The main risk, which is actually harnessed by the legislator, is related to the explainability.
Yes.
So the closer you mimic the human mind, the more difficult it is to explain how you reached a decision. And yet, the regulator, GDPR in that instance in Europe and the equivalent in the UK, obliged us, banks or any organization which use AI, obliged us to explain the decision. So that's a big risk from a point of liability for banks, because if you can't explain it, then you can be fined enormously.
Sure.
And with deep learning and neural networks, it's almost impossible to explain how the machine came to this decision. So what the approach that we are taking now is what we call after the event explaining. So you've got some frameworks such as SHAP, LIME, ELIS. Those are frameworks which try to have a black box approach, to which is the only one you can take, but which will give an explanation of how the machine got to this decision, okay, considering the inputs and the outputs.
Yeah. And that explainability, would that be internal as well within an organization to be able to talk to senior leaders or maybe other departments about how that machine learning is?
Indeed, that is also a very important application, because no one in no executive in any organization wants its company to start to live, to have a life of its own.
Yeah, completely. I mean, they may be really excited by the numbers that can be achieved by applying AI into an operation, but yeah, they've got to ask questions around the explainability.
Indeed.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, as everyone beyond the document, we really do like real life use cases to bring theory to life and make it easier for the people listening to appreciate what we're talking about. Now, given that both Formpipe and SNG work with Temenos technology, what real life applications have you seen out there?
Well, there's a very good application from Temenos, the Smart Banking Advisor, which uses their explainable AI to help a specific segment of the bank customers, yes, in that instance, small and medium enterprises. And that provides very good advice on to grow, to optimize your cash flow, and tailor services and recommendation tailored to your situation as a SME. It's based on again, I've talked about big data. It's based on the data that obviously you have to consent to be used as a end user. Okay. It's based on analytics and on explainable AI.
And that's an interesting thing about consent, and I think we'll move on to that shortly. I always find it so interesting to see where AI is being applied into real life, because as you touched upon at the start of the episode, you know, it has been all around us. It's been there for a while. I know it's involved in things like cars, and people don't realize that they're coming into play with it then, but it does make it more understandable when we put it into real day life.
Yeah.
So it's exciting to see where this can go, right? And not only as an industry, but to society more generally, given that our society that we live in has become familiar with the use of data, and then we are becoming more aware with data breaches and hacking. You know, that's something that's very prevalent at the moment, I know. So following on from that thread, the way that I think that the next thing that we are going to become familiar with, and you never know, we'll be talking to our friends down the pub about this soon, is AI and how that impacts upon us. So what threats do you see coming to the general populace through the introduction of AI?
Right. I am an optimistic, and I think that actually AI is already bringing a lot of benefits to organization. However, there are a few things that we need to keep in mind in the banking industry and in other industries as well. The first one is the bias.
Yes.
This is a topic which is frequently covered. I would say that, so what is the problem? The problem or the risk is that, you know, we are all biased. We make decisions sometimes for the wrong reason.
Yeah, and that's due to what our upbringing or our social network, I guess.
That's right. And similarly, a machine will have the same bias because it will learn facts that it's been given, okay, and those facts may not be, inherently we'll have a bias. It's impossible to avoid. Okay. And the difficulty here is that machines can do wrong decision a million of times per seconds,
right,
or minutes.
Right.
So I was mentioning earlier the legislator and GDPR. You have to give credit to the legislature here, which has understood that risk. And in GDPR, there is already Article 22, which makes that you actually have the right as a consumer or as any kind of subject.
Citizen,
exactly. Yeah. You have the right to not have an automated decision on profiling or a decision on your ability to repay a mortgage. A company has to, again, explain how they reach that decision. And that is a very good way of monitoring any bias that would develop to a dangerous level in any kind of machine that you have put in place or system that you have put in place.
And that, that brings us back to that explainability again, then, the need that we need to understand the practice of our AI that we're applying to our process.
Yeah, absolutely. But as I said, there is legislation around that, at least in Europe. I'm a bit less familiar with the North America. Okay. But in Europe, the legislation is very clear and will force organizations to put what is necessary to put in place to avoid this bias to become a real problem. More longer term, some risks that we have in banking specifically is to do with authentication and identification.
Yes. Yeah.
So we are all used to right now to go to a website, and when it comes to pay or whatever, we have to reassure the other parties that we are not a bot.
Yes.
And so where do you see cars in this picture? Where do you see bicycles, whatever?
Traffic lights.
That is actually, as far as I know, not a problem yet, but will become a problem because machine will become much better at identifying patterns, image recognition. So and put them into the context. That is the difficult thing, which is that machine don't do well right now. Is for instance, if you show a cat in a picture, they can say, "Oh, that's a cat." If you show a lion, they'll say, "Oh, that's a lion." If you tell them, "Show me some felines," and you have lions and cats, they don't have the contextualization that we have. That's something we haven't really cracked yet. Okay. So we are sort of okay right now. Right. I don't think it will last forever. So we will have to look at those mechanisms that we've put in place so far to protect ourselves from bots.
Yeah.
The other round is in terms of identification. So we are very more and more reliant on facial recognition.
Yes.
We've seen it in the last few weeks with Midjourney or those generative AI which creates pictures which are more true than the truth, more real than real.
Yeah.
And how is that going to impact visual identification, facial recognition? That, to my mind, is something we have to keep a close eye on.
Yeah, and I know when we were speaking before the episode, and I was just thinking how many different services I access based upon facial recognition. You know, if you then multiply that across the whole of the UK, that would be a huge.
It's a great approach.
Yeah, yeah.
Before AI came along.
Yeah. Good. I mean, it is a part of the industry that's moving fast. Quickly, you know, it's a fast-paced area. It's going to be developing quickly. And with that, applying the control that we require within the banking industry for end clients, but then also for the regulator, you know, that this is a paramount area. So what do you see as being the next major development with that in mind?
Well, we spoke briefly about Smart Banking Advisor, which is really focusing on a specific segment, which is small and medium enterprise.
Yes.
I see this sort of application accelerating and becoming more sophisticated. So in the space of advisory, and especially when it comes to retail banking and consumers and people like you and I, we also have financial advisors. This is a profession which springs to mind as being under threat. A machine can already make a much better analysis of what is a good investment or not such a good investment right now in terms of funds, bonds, whatever.
Yeah.
The machine can put that in the context of the macroeconomic context. Again, at a speed that no human being can do. Now, there will always be the human relationship. Do you trust a human or do you trust a machine?
Yeah.
But I think as people are getting used to AI, they will get used to receiving advice from a machine, especially if for 99% of the people, the equation is relatively simple. I've got whatever, 100K to invest somewhere. I don't know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. A machine can give you an advice on this. The just like we mentioned GDPR for the explainability, again, the only factor which is going to slow down the movement will be legislation. So obviously today a financial advisor has to be FCA regulated. How do you apply that to machines? I don't have the answer, but this will be something that the legislator will have to think about, and that will take time. Once this is defined, this is one profession, something, just one example amongst many that I think we have to change dramatically.
And that was something I'd not considered until we spoke. And then I started to think about it. And if you use your use case of £100,000 to invest and you answer some questions on your risk profile, when you want to access your funds again, how likely it is that you need to access them during that period, all of those things can be considered and put into the algorithm that's applied to the machine learning, I presume.
That's exactly that. As long as you consent for a machine to analyze your data, you get the right advice.
Fascinated. It's going to be so interesting to see where we go, again, not just as an industry, but as a wider collective.
It's very exciting. This is the most exciting change I see in my industry, which is software engineering and banking, since the introduction of networks and credit cards. And you know, we had one big move in the 60s. Then of course we had online banking. Now this is something actually, to my mind, much more exciting.
It's a steep learning curve for us all.
Yes.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Fabrice. Thank you for joining me today. Thank you for being on Beyond the Document.
Thank you, Ben. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to Beyond the Document. And thank you again to Fabrice for joining me today. If you're interested in what Fabrice and his colleagues do, then please do visit sngservices.co.uk or just search for Fabrice Goodbrose on LinkedIn. I'm Ben Saxton. Join you next time on Beyond the Document.